Okay, Chevra, good evening. We're going to continue learning Maseches Sukkah to the best of our ability. And part of doing that involves trying to get the screen up, but somehow this is not working again. Okay. Like this. Do you have it now? Do you see the Gemara?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, Chevra. So we're learning Maseches Sukkah. Let's begin from the bottom of Yud Ches Amud Aleph. It's two lines in the bottom. It begins Itmar. Basically, last time we learned, we got involved in some conversations which were kind of interesting about fish and the like. What I want to talk about tonight is going back to excellent Maseches Sukkah topics. And the idea that we're going to discuss tonight is something called Pi Tikra Yored V'Sosim. We have various Halachot Moshe Mi-Sinais about mechitzos. There are various dinim of mechitzos that come up in Hilchos Shabbos. It comes up by Kil'ayim. Some of them are more famous, like what we've been discussing in the last few weeks. Lavud is a more famous one of the Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinais. But tonight we're talking about Pi Tikra Yored V'Sosim, which basically means that a ceiling goes and drops. That's the idea of Pi Tikra Yored V'Sosim, that the ceiling can drop down and that consequently creates some sort of mechitza. The way we get involved in this is from a Mishnah where the Mishnah spoke about, remember, I have a few homes, and the homes are in a
Courtyard.
chutzner, in a courtyard, right? So all the homes open to a courtyard. Let's say there is a ceiling, a portico, on top of where the homes end. It's almost like these motels that sometimes you, when you're on the road trip, you stop off in a motel and you kind of want to sleep over for a night. It's one of these types of motels that basically what's going on is that you leave your room, you leave your apartment, and you're underneath an overhang. And there is empty space between the overhangs. And what we are doing in this case is I'm putting schach on the empty space between those overhangs. That's really what I'm trying to do. And the Mishnah tells us that if the overhang is less than 4 amos, so we know the halacha already, that's called dofen akuma, that's the crooked wall, less than 4 amos, and it's going to be kosher. However, if the overhang is more than 4 amos, so then it is not going to be kosher. That's what the Mishnah said. Now, Itmar, two lines in the bottom on Yud Ches Amud Aleph. Itmar, Sichech al gabe achsadra sheyesh la pitzimin. Let's say you put schach on top of an achsadra. Achsadra is this area, this cutout area that we discussed, but this is an achsadra sheyesh lapitzimen. This is an achsadra that has some posts that are there. We'll have to talk about this in 5 minutes, exactly what it looks like, but I put schach on top of an achsadra that has pitzimen, so then it's kasher, ksheira. Let's say the achsadra does not have these posts. So Abaye says ksheira, Rava Amar psula. Abaye says it's okay. Rava says it's no good. Abaye Amar ksheira. Abaye says it is good. Let's just turn the page. Abaye says ksheira because Amrinon, do you see it? Amrinon, yeah.
Yes.
Amrinon pi tikra yorid v'sosim. Abaye says it's okay because we say that the ceiling Yored v'sosim. The ceiling drops down and it seals off that area. Rava amar psula, because lo amrinan pitikra yored v'sosim. Rava says it's no good because we do not say pitikra yored v'sosim. So it's a relatively simple Gemara in the sense of Abaye says we apply the rule of pitikra, but Rava says we do not apply the rule of pitikra. Now, we're talking about a achsadra sheyesh la pitzimen. Does anyone see a picture now?
Yes.
Okay. Achsadra sheyesh la pitzimen. So if you look in this picture over here, this is the picture the way it is according to Rashi. If you notice...
Top one?
The top one. The top picture. If you notice, there's an achsadra, right? By the way, these pictures just... so that I don't violate any copyright law, in case there are some lawyers on this call, even if there aren't lawyers in the call, we don't want to violate copyright law. Achsadra means you have that hangover, like the right corner over there. There's a hangover. You see the picture underneath it. That's an achsadra. There's like a hangover. The homes open up to this middle area, but there is an overhang right where the homes open. That's an achsadra. Now, as a matter of halacha, the Gemara says, the Mishnah tells me, that if the achsadra has pitzimin, it's kosher. Rashi learns an achsadra that has pitzimin is that top picture. See that top picture? You have all of those posts going all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
Those posts are each within three tfachim of the other. Those posts are basically the halacha of lavud, right, which we've been discussing until now. So according to Rashi, the case that it is kosher is you have posts all the way around on three sides. So effectively, that tzrach that you see right up there, that tzrach is going to be right underneath the walls because the halachic wall of the sukkah are those posts around and around and around. That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara, which makes it really obvious. No? It's really obvious. Achsadra sheyesh la pitzimin is really obvious. Some of the Mefarshim comment that maybe what Rashi is telling me is that, yeah, this case is actually obvious, but if you would have one without the other, it might not be so obvious. Meaning, if I'd be missing those lavud walls, those posts that go all around, that's not so obvious. Or alternatively, if I'm missing the ceiling, it's not so obvious. And that's because of something that we discussed at one point, that maybe the halacha of lavud only works, or it doesn't work around and around and around if it's in one direction, right? We discussed a position in the Magen Avraham, and the Magen Avraham says that a lavud type of sukkah can't be entirely good. You need at least one stick going the opposite direction. Over here, these are all horizontal. You would need at least one vertical going around. But according to Rashi and according to everybody, the top case is pretty obvious. That's an achsadra sheyesh la pitzimin. And the guy on the side translates pitzimin like chalonot. It's like windows. It's all beautiful. But let's take a look at the second picture. This is achsadra she'en la pitzimin. You see it?
Mm-hmm.
The picture right underneath it. This is the dispute between Abaye and Rava. In this case, where I do not have the horizontal poles going around and around, the question is, do I say pitikra yored v'sosim? Do I say that the ceiling drops? Meaning, do I say that there's a halachic wall that's created just by taking the ceiling and going down? I draw an imaginary halachic wall going down. That is a machlokes between Abaye and Rava. Abaye says we apply the principle of pitikra yored v'sosim. Abaye says that as a matter of halacha, you can draw that wall down, not a problem at all. Rava says, no, you can't. Rava says, we cannot do pi tikra yorid. You cannot drop that wall. Rava would say that lavud helps, but pi tikra does not help. Pitikra Yorevisotame does not work according to Rava. It's like a categorical statement, or I should say it's like a make-believe halacha. I follow this person on Twitter who does he call himself? Like halachos you never heard of because they don't exist, right? So one of the
Facebook page.
Oh, it's a Facebook? Maybe that's where it is. Maybe it's on Facebook. I forget already. Caroline, you have much greater bakiyas in this than I do. but according to Rava, Pitikra Yarevisotim is a halacha that you never heard of because it doesn't exist. There is no such thing as Pitikra Yarevisotim. According to Rava, it does not exist. This case is not good. Now, if I
go... Why is the Gemara mentioning it?
The Gemara mentions it because according to Abaye, it's good. But according to Rav, it's no good. Right? That's
the
big thing.
Rava holds this across the board. I mean, Eruvin as well and other places where
Rava
we have it.
Rava holds, again, we'll have to define this a little bit more as we go on tonight. But at this point in the Gemara, Rava is saying that P. Tikra Yorid Vesosim does not exist, and you cannot build a sukkah out of your P. Tikras. You can't build a sukkah out of your pitikras. Again, we'll have to refine it as we go on. There's going to be a massive tesis that we'll see that we probably won't be able to read. But
is he saying that the reason why is because the two boards on the side of the second picture that are attached to the houses in the courtyard would be an overhang, and therefore it's that's why it's no good. But in the first picture,
I have those horizontal.
Right. So it takes out the overhang, and so you're not sitting under it. So that's why it'd be good.
Well, again, the issue isn't about sitting under the overhang. The issue over here is I'm sitting right underneath those branches. My right. Sukkah is in a great, amazing place, no matter what. However, in case number two, in that second picture, Rava says it is puzzle as a sukkah because, right, there's more than four amos between the wall and over here.
Oh, okay.
So therefore, it's no good.
I got you.
Right? Abaye says it's good because the halacha allows me to draw the walls down. Now, when Rava says that...
Are they disagreeing on what lavud is?
No. No. Everyone agrees in the top case that it works, right? In the top case, everybody says it works based on the lavud rule. But in the middle case, Abaye says it is good. Rava says it is no good. That's called pitikra, which Rava says does not work. Now, The basic idea over here is as follows. That overhang, we assume, is meant to service the homes. The goal of the overhang is to service the house.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, Rava is going to say the overhang cannot count as a mechitza for the area under the branches because the purpose of the overhang is for the homes. And therefore, the purpose is it only goes this way. The mechitza of P tikra yorid vesosim is unidirectional, right? Ilan, this is sort of getting to the issue that you were raising. The mechitza is unidirectional, only goes one way. So it's only a mechitza towards the homes. But the area in the middle, it doesn't count as a mechitza. However, lavud is a better type of mechitza. So therefore, lavud works in two directions. This is the Gemara as understood by Rashi. Now, let's just go back to our Gemara page. Can you see the Gemara now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So again, Rava says it's possible because we do not say P. Tikra Yored v'sotem. We do not say that pitikra, that the ceiling drops it down. Amalei Rava la Abaye. So Rava asks Abaye, he says, L'didach da amrit pitikra yored v'sotem, afil hifches dofen emtsa'i. If you say pitikra yored v'sotem, so you should not need that middle wall at all. Remember, the way we showed the picture, let's try to go back to our most beloved picture, right? We showed the picture that in the top case, right, there are homes in three directions, right? There's the left, A, the middle is B, and the right side is C. The Gemara is asking, right? Rava asks Abaye, says, Abaye, if you assume that pitikra yored v'sotem, if you assume that the ceiling drops, and just a dropped ceiling creates a mechitza, so then you should not need three sides. Right? If all you have is two sides, pardon me, if all you have is two sides, that should also be sufficient because the two sides is going to create two mechitzos. And then I'm going to have a third mechitza somewhere out there. It's going to be a good mechitza. I have a wall or something somewhere in there, but I don't need that third ceiling. The kasha is, according to the Gemara's kasha is, according to, excuse me, Rava asks Abaye, even without the third wall, it should be okay, even without that third ceiling. So he answers, Amarlei, Modina lach bahi, dehavale kemavoy hamefulash. Comes along Abaye, and Abaye says, yeah, I hold of pitikra yarev v'sotem. I hold it, seals it off. But that's only true if you have three walls. If you don't have three walls, if you have two walls, so that is like a mavoi mefulash, right? In Hilchas Erevin, there's something called the Rishus HaRabim, a public thoroughfare. Then you also have something called a mavoi mefulash, which is a alleyway that goes through and through. An alleyway that goes through and through is considered a similar to a Rishus HaRabim. So the Gemara is basically saying that Abaye says, you know what? If you don't have a third wall, let me explain the case a little bit better. I don't know if I explained it properly. Let's say I have three ceilings, but only two walls, right? If I go back to my beloved picture, pictures are everything, no? The picture is worth like a way more than 1,000 words over here, right? So I go back to that picture. Let's say I have three ceilings and only two walls, right? The second picture, right? Let's say there's no wall. There are no homes at the end, but somehow you have a ceiling. So in that case, Abaye says, I will not say pitikra yored v'sotem because that is like a mavoi mefulash. Since people can go through and through, we will not allow the mechitza of pitikra to work. Now, this issue basically means, again, according to Rashi, the way he's understanding the Gemara, so pitikra yored v'sosem is a mechitza. It's a mechitza, but it's not a mechitza if people go through it and through it and through it. So if I don't have that third wall, right, again, in picture two, right, I don't have any horizontals. I don't have a third wall. So in that case, since people could walk through and through and through, so therefore it would not be a good mechitza because how can it be a mechitza if people walk through it? That's basically the Gemara as understood by Rashi. Yeah, Ilan?
But Abaye is perfectly fine with no walls at all.
So we're going to deal with that question in a second. Yeah, so Abaye is perfectly fine with no walls at all. But if I have two walls and people walk through it, That's going to be a massive problem. Correct. And the Pnei Yehoshua raises an issue. Right? We like the Pnei Yehoshua on Bennett Avenue because he was the Rav of Frankfurt am Main at one point. Even before Rabina Hirsch, the Pnei Yehoshua was the Rav of Frankfurt am Main. But the Pnei Yehoshua asks the question. He says, one second. There's a general halacha that a mechitza shagadoyim bokim bo, any mechitza that the animals go through it, is not a good mechitza. So if that's the case, it just doesn't make sense that this pitikr should ever work as a mechitza. Forget about whether you have two walls, right, or whatever, but you're saying that it's a mechitza because you drop that ceiling, but everyone could walk through it. What type of mechitza is that? So the Pnei Yeshua says, you know what, that question doesn't bother me because if it's a mechitza, the halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim says it's a mechitza, even though the animals break through, even though Gedayim Bokim Bo, but it won't be a good mechitza if people go through it and through it and through it. That is the Gemara so far as understood by Rashi. Now, if we go back to the Gemara, so Tosfos does not like Rashi's approach at all. By the way, if you look in the actual Rashi, one second. The expression that Rashi uses is that it is like the cloisters. You saw this in the Rashi? Yeah, I'll show you it. One second here. You see the word Amrinon on the top? One second. Here, I'll show you it in the Rashi over here. Right, now we're going back to Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, right, where the Sugya comes up the first time in the Mishnah. V'chein chatzer, right, v'chein chatzer, that is a mukefas achsadra, that's how we began. That if you have a courtyard that's surrounded, kol chatzer b'shas, etc., etc., etc. And then he writes, like just to show this, I mean, we live in the Heights, so maybe someone understands this better than I do. If it's less than Abba Amos, it's kosher. Da aminan dofen akuma. Dugma ledava cloistera belashon ashkenaz shal eza umos heim hagalochem sheyeshla avir sheshba asavim vehekef achsadra savivla. Rashi says, dugma ledava, an example of this is a cloistera belashon ashkenaz. I assume that means a cloister in German, no? Shall Eza Umos, right? Haim Hagalochim, like certain nations which are the priests, that they have this airspace where there's grass that grows, etc., like the pictures that we saw. Is that what cloisters are? Are cloisters like that type of thing where there are, again, I don't know anything about this. I don't think that's what it means. I thought cloisters just means it's a sealed off area, but whatever it is, Rashi is saying that it is like the cloisters. I don't know exactly if Rashi was in the Heights. I don't know if he saw the cloisters or even in their original location. I think Rashi was way before the cloisters, no? Rashi is the most important 25 minutes in Jewish history, 1040 until 1105. Okay, now, so basically, that's the position of Rashi that we understand in the Gemara. Now, according to Rashi, the Gemara is making a distinction between whether they have that third wall. If there's no third wall, people go through and through and through. Tosfos says, you know what? If that's the case, that the people go through and through and through, so how do we deal with the Gemara later on that speaks about an achsadra bebika, right? The Gemara says, here, let's read it in a second. Right? Abaye says, Modina lach ba'ahi, da'havalei k'mavoi ha'mfulash. Right? Abai says, I agree in that case because it's like a mavri that goes through and through. Lema, the Gemara says, you can see it's like the top line. Lema, Abai of a Rava, but Pluta de Rav Shmuel kamifligi. Maybe Abai and Rava are arguing in the dispute between Rav and Shmuel, the Itmar. Achsadra bibika. Let's say I have a valley, right? There are no walls anywhere near it. And in the middle of that valley, I have an achsadra. I just have a overhang in the middle of the valley. Rav says, mutar l'taltel b'kulo. Daminam pitikra yoreb sotem. Rav says, you're allowed to carry in the whole thing because you say pitikra. Ushmuel amar, e metaltel imba ela medalat amos. Delo aminam pitikra yoreb sotem. This is machlekes Rav and Shmuel. We'll talk about the details in a few minutes. The achsadra b'bika. That if I have in a valley, I have a, what's it called? In the valley, there are no walls anywhere. So Abaye and Rava, excuse me, so Rav and Shmuel have a machlokas in that case about whether you say pitikra yorei v'sotei. Now, in that case, obviously, you're going to walk through and through. Here, let me show you the picture over here. Achsadra b'bika, that's picture kuftzadihe, the bottom picture on the screen that I just shared. Basically, you have, it's a valley, a beautiful area, and you have like an overhang. So Rav says you're allowed to carry in that area. Shmuel says you can't. Machlekes Rav and Shmuel, whether you can carry it with achsadra b'bika house. But 1 second, people can walk through it. If people can walk through it, shouldn't that make it invalid? That's Tosis's kasha. So Tosis makes a suggestion that maybe for Rashi, there's a difference between this case of achsadra b'bika and the case that we had beforehand. Let's take that top picture over there. The difference is that in this case, there's a lot of people living around it. You see all the homes around in the top picture? Since there's a lot of homes around, we're worried that people are going to walk through and invalidate the mechitza. But in our beautiful bottom picture, where there are no homes, so therefore I'm not worried anyone will invalidate the mechitza. That's the defense for Rashi. But Tosis' expression about this Rashi, right, is Tosis says, here, it's the first wide line, in the Tosfos. Tosfos says, Usavara Mishunahi. This is a, how do I say it nicely? It's weird. It's just like, right? It's a strange expression, Tosfos. Svara Mishunahi. It's just a really weird bit of logic. But that's what Tosfos says. Svara Mishuna. So this idea that Rashi says, that you're going, that if you have this achsadra, you have this overhang, and if it's in an area where people live, so because the people will walk through it, that will invalidate the mechitza. But if it's bibika, if it's in a valley that no one's going to walk through it, then it's okay. Tosis says svara mishunahi. Tosis says it's just a really weird idea. Lefikach nira. Tosis says therefore it appears. It seems that there are two.
Yosef,
ask someone to give you food because Abba's going to get you now.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Therefore, it seems.
I'll
give them to you after you say. Therefore, it seems, Octisis, that we're talking about a case where there are two walls, kimin gam. A gam is a Greek letter, alpha, beta, gamma. Gamma is like something like this, no? Right? Anyone went to college? Right?
Yeah, upside down.
It's an upside down.
Capital gamma.
Yeah,
capital gamma is like inverted L.
An inverted L. Okay, right, so it's like this, right? Yeah. And that's gamma. But basically, gamma means that you have two walls that connect. either Mizrach v'Darom or Mizrach v'Tzafon, right? The two walls connect. And in that case, there's a discussion of Pitikra Yored v'Sotein. But if the two walls are parallel to each other, then no one would say Pitikra Yored v'Sotein. And that's the issue that the Gemara brings up that we read, that since people can walk through, it's no good. The only time I say Pitikrav Yored v'Sotein, according to Tosfos, the only time I can entertain the idea is when the two walls intersect. So if I go back to my most beloved picture here. So the bottom picture over here is Tosfos. You know, I took a walk this afternoon to the YU Beis Medrash, because I knew they had this sefer. This is in the back of the Masifta Shas where I took the pictures, because I just felt it would be very, if I would have to draw these pictures myself, I couldn't do it. I don't have the artistic skill. So according to Tosis, the only time I could say Pitikra Yor Sotem is I have two full-fledged walls. You see, I have my overhang on the right and in the middle. On the left side, I don't have a wall down. In that situation, I'll say Pitikra Yored v'Sotein. The only time I'll say Pitikra Yored v'Sotein, according to Tosfos, is when you have two walls kamin gam, right? A gam, that inverted L, right? Two walls are touching. On the third side, I can say Pitikra Yored v'Sotein. That's what Tosfos says. Now, Rav Soloveitchik explained, basically, I don't know if this helps that much, but it's just like the Rav, like, sometimes you likes using terminology to explain ideas, that according to Rashi, Pitikra Yored v'Sotein creates a mechitza, but according to Tosfos, Pitikra Yored v'Sotein does not create a mechitza, it connects mechitzos. Now, the idea over here, you're saying, what? How are you connecting? The answer is I'm connecting, I'm making a third mechitza on that bottom picture, and that makes it a full-fledged sukkah, because a sukkah only needs three walls. So Rashi says Pitikra creates a mechitza. Tosfos says Pitikra just connects mechitzos. It connects an area. It doesn't create an area. It happens that there's a famous Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos in Perek Yud Zayin. It's famous because Reb Chaim made it famous. Remember, we had that case of Achsadra Bebika, right? That case when I have a, right? When I'm in middle of the valley and I have, yeah, where was that picture? Here, this one, right? Achsadra Bebika, the lowest picture over here. I'm in the middle of the valley and I just have the roof on top. So Rav and Shmuel have a machlokes about whether that's good. Am I allowed to carry in it? That's a discussion in the Gemara. Achsadra b'bikka, is it mutar l'taltil? Can you carry or can you not carry? Now that's a din d'rabbanon in terms of whether I'm allowed to carry inside that area is probably a din d'rabbanon. What about min ha-tayra? Let's say you have someone who's standing in the Rishus HaRabim and he throws or she throws an object and it lands underneath that thing or inside it, goes through the wall and lands there. Is that considered carrying from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid? So the Rambam writes that the rule of Pi Tikra, Yorid Vesel, same even when you say it, and we'll have to talk about the rules and regulations in a few minutes, but even when I say that rule of Pitikra Yored v'Sotein, so according to the Rambam, you can never be chayiv for throwing something into it, because Pitikra doesn't really create a mechitza. It doesn't make something into a rishus hayochid. Pitikra only means that I'm allowed to carry in that area underneath. That's the discussion in the Gemara about Achsadra Bebika. So let's go on. Back to my Gemara. Okay, you can see the Gemara now. The Itmar. Achsadra Bebika. Rav Omar Mutar L'Taltil B'Kulo. Rav says you're allowed to carry an entire thing. De Amrinon Pitikra Yared Besotem. Shmuel Amar Imetaltman Ba Elabadalan Amos. De Lo Amrinon Pitikra Yared Besotem. Rav and Shmuel have a dispute. Am I allowed to carry in that case when I just have that overhang? And it is completely not supported by any walls. That's the image that we have according to Rashi. Am I allowed to carry there or not? So Rav says you're allowed to carry. Shmuel says you're not allowed to carry. Now the Gemara thinks that the dispute that we had, the Machlokes Abaye and Rava, that Abaye says Pitikra Yor V'Sosim, and Rava says we do not say Pitikra Yor V'Sosim. The Gemara thinks, oh, this seems to be the same dispute between Rav and Shmuel. It's the same Machlokes, right? That Rav says Pitikra. Shmuel says no Pitikra. It seems to be the same exact Machlokes. So the Gemara says no. Aliba de Shmuel, right? Bottom line in the Gemara. Aliba de Shmuel, kuli alma lo pligi. Everybody holds that according to Shmuel, there is no concept of Pitikra Yared Besotem. Everybody says that. Oh, one second. Can oh, I see the problem. It's supposed to go to 19A. Keep pleading, right? I kept on pushing 18B and I'm getting the same thing. I forgot that I was on Yud Ches Amud Beis beforehand. I'll return and go to Yud Ches Amud Aleph. Keep pleading, Aliba de Rav, right? The Machlokas Abaye and Rava is within Rav. Abaye, Kirav. Abaye, who says that we apply the principle of Pitikra Yared Besotem in the case that we showed beforehand, either according to Rashi, the case of that I'm dropping the wall on all three sides, according to Abaye, or according to Tosfos, that I'm dropping the wall only on one side because you have two walls that are intersecting like a gamma, right? That's what Tosfos learns. So Abaye says, I drop the wall. Abaye says, Pitikra Yared Besotem. So Abaye says, I go like Rav. I go like Rav, who says that I apply the rule of Pitikra Yared Besotem. V'rava amar lach. Rava will say, no, ad kan lo amar rav hasam ela de mechitzos la achsadra hu de avidi. Ava hocha de lav la hocha avidi lo. Rava says, you know what, I'm not going to say pitikra yared v'sotem in the case of the sukkah. When you have the homes around the side and you have that overhang that makes this achsadra, that makes this what Rashi called the cloisters, no? So, or it's called a portico. So in that case, Rava says, I don't say Pitikra Yared Besotem because the tikra, that ceiling, that overhang, the purpose of it is for the homes that are inside. So that's why I do not say Pitikra Yared Besotem over there. But in the case of the achsadra bebika, in the case when I'm in the middle of the valley and I have the and I have that ceiling on top for whatever the reason, right? I guess it's like something to give you shade, or that's why you'd have it in the middle of the valley. If you have one of those in the middle of the valley, so there the purpose of that overhang is for the area that you're trying to enclose. In our case of sukkah, the purpose of the overhang is for the area that I'm not enclosing. But in the case of achsadra bebika, in the case where I have that area that's, I guess perm is coming up, so I'll use the word hung over. The area that's hung over in middle of the valley, so over there the purpose is to enclose that area. Okay. Tanan, let's just read on a teeny bit in the Gemara, and then I'll talk about Pitikra for a few more minutes. Tanan, v'chein chater hamukefes achsadra, If you have a courtyard that is surrounded by the achsadra, that's the case that we showed you, the case in our Mishnah. You have a courtyard, homes around the side, and you have the overhang outside of each apartment. So in that case, the Mishnah says that if the overhang is less than 4 amos, so it's fine based on the general rule that we know of dofen akuma, of crooked walls. So if I have this situation, so the halacha is it's not good. Va'amai, why is it no good? Name a pitikra yori v'sotem. The Gemara has a question. According to Abaye, I say pitikra yori v'sotem. So how come our Mishnah tells me that it's not good? How come our Mishnah tells you that I have the overhang, right? So the area between my hands is not good if the overhang is more than 4. Why not? Shouldn't I say pitikra yored v'sotem? So tirgama Rava Aliba d'Abaye. This is like an interesting line in the Gemara. Rava explained for Abaye. Apparently Abaye is not around to answer for himself. So Rava explained for Abaye. I lost the place. Here, on the top. Tirgama Rava Aliba d'Abaye kisha hishve et kiruyav. The case is where the ceiling is leveled off. I only say pitikra yored v'sotem, the Gemara says, when the ceiling is a noticeable ceiling. But when it is leveled off, then I do not say pitikra yored v'sotem. Let me draw the... Here, it's the bottom picture on the screen I just shared. Kishe hishve et kiruyav. If you notice, again, it's a little hard to tell. The standard case would be that you put the schach on top of that overhang, on top of the portico. That's the easiest way to support the schach. However, when the schach is the same level as the overhang, so it's not possible to distinguish between the overhang and the schach. It all looks like one ceiling that's just made out of two different materials. That's called kishehishve et kiruyav. That's called when you even the ceiling. The halacha of pitikra yored v'sotem is only when the ceiling is noticeable, right? So if I have schach on top, right? If this is my ceiling, and there's schach on top, so it's noticeable, right? They're in different levels. But if they're even, so it's not noticeable. And apparently the fact that they're constructed out of different materials is not enough to make it noticeable. And the Gemara says, kisha hishva et kiruyav, when the levels are even, then the rule of pitikra yorei v'sotem does not apply. That is what we learned so far. Now, let's go back to the case of Achsadra Babika. That case of the case that we noted earlier when you have a area that's covered in the middle of a valley. So what's the halacha over there? So we said Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, whether you say Pitikra Yored V'Sotem or not. But as the Gemara noted, it's not the same machlokas as the machlokas Abaye and Rava. Not exactly the same machlokas. Now, Rashi and Tosfos have two different texts in a Gemara in Erevin. And the Tosfos is over here. If you want, I could show you the Tosfos inside. We could look at the Tosfos. So this Tosis, Achsadra Bebeka, the bottom Tosis, places quotes the Perek Kol Gagas in that Perek in Erevin, Pirish Bekontris, to knock up a Bebeka, Mishun de Bebeka, Havya Achsadra Perutza, Me Abba Ruchoteha, Vo Medet Kiruya Al Dala Yesedos. Avo Be'ir, Stam Achsadros, Smuchos Vabayas Olo Chotzer, Medofen Habayas Sosma,
Right? In other words,
Rashi says, the dispute is only when you have it in the middle of a valley, meaning there are no walls. But if it's in the city and you have at least one wall, then it definitely works. V'zehu kefigur sussel, degaris b'shuli kol gagos. This fits in with Rashi's text there in Irvin Sadi Dalid. Umi islay l'shmo b'tikra yor v'sosem u'mishani ki leslay b'dalid. Avo b'gimol islay. The Gemara's answer is that we say p'tikra b'yore b'sotem, according to the text that Rashi has in the Gemara. I do not say, the maskana of the Gemara, conclusion of the Gemara is, I do not say p'tikra yov so same if I need to drop it on four sides. But in the top picture, I will say p'tikra yov so same because I have one mechitza. I have one wall. You see in the back over there, that's one wall. So that's enough to say p'tikra yorid v'sosem according to Rashi. According to Rashi, as a matter of halacha, that works. But according to Tosfos, it's exactly the opposite. According to Tosfos, in order to say p'tikra yorid v'sosem as a matter of halacha, you need three complete walls. You see the middle picture? Right? In the middle picture, you have three complete mesh walls. In that situation, there is a machlokas Rav and Shmuel, whether you say p'tikra on the fourth wall. Rav and Shmuel disagree. Do you say p'tikra on the fourth wall? Or maybe you only say p'tikra if you have a teeny thing that juts out, on the fourth wall, like in this lowest picture that I just made larger. You have something that juts out. You have posts that jut out. Only then do you say p'tikra. So according to Tosfos, you only say p'tikra if you have three complete walls. And some say if you have three walls and a tiny bit. But according to Rashi, I'm going to say p'tikra yorid v'sosem as long as I have one complete wall. And this brings us, of course, like everything else in Judaism, to the Washington Heights Eruv. Okay. People know there's an Eruv in the Heights. Okay. Fine. So far, so good. So the story of the Eruv in Washington Heights goes like this. Years and years and years ago, I think now it's like 15 years ago, the Eruv, I was the rabbi of Mount Sinai for 10 years, and the Eruv came up 3 years before I was, 3 years before I was the rabbi. Originally, the community, the Mount Sinai community, Rabbi Schneiderman at that point was not well, and that led to some of the Balabatim in Mount Sinai, two fellows, Ben Sandler and James Wolfe particularly, were responsible for putting up the Eruv. Originally, they wanted Rav Schechter to build the Eruv, to be the Rav HaMachshir and the Eruv. Rav Schechter did not want to because he's a member of Breuers. Actually, my involvement in the Mount Sinai Eruv began at that point. Rav Schechter asked me to take a look at the Eruv. So I took a look at it and I had a few comments, but obviously I was too junior of a person to be the actual Rav HaMachshir on the Eruv. So they brought in the Rabbi Wozner from Muncie. You know, Rav Wozner was the Rav in Bnei Brak. He died a few years ago at like age 103. His son just died of COVID like a couple of weeks ago. So Rav Wozner has like 10 sons. One of his sons from Ben Sion Wozner is the one who came to be Machshir, the Mount Sinai Eruv. He gave a shir in Mount Sinai at that time. I actually went to that shir. I sat next to Rabbi Simon. We had a high old time. It was awesome and amazing. After Rav Wozner was Machshir the Eruv, so people asked Rav Schechter what he thought about the Eruv. And Rav Schechter said that the Eruv was no good. Now again, I had nothing, my hands are clean over here. I had nothing to do with this already. I just took one initial walk, and then Rav Wozner put it up. People asked Rav Schechter what he said about the Eruv. And Rav Schechter said he did not like the original Mount Sinai Eruv because the wires went on top of bus stops. For example, right in front of Key Food on Broadway and 187, the Eruv wire went right on top of a bus stop over there. And Rav Schechter felt that the bus stop is considered a Rishus HaYachid. It's considered a private domain. And as a matter of halacha, according to many poskim, it's not unanimous, but according to many poskim, if an Eruv wire goes on top of a private domain, so it is it's a problem. If an Eruv wire goes on top of a Rishus HaYachid, that invalidates the Eruv according to many poskim. Some poskim, many poskim, depends how you count. Now, it happens when I became the rabbi, so we voided that issue. The wire did not go on top of the bus stops anymore, and the issue was okay according to Rav Schechter also. Now, why is a bus stop a Rishus HaYachid? Why is a bus stop a private domain? It's only a private domain based on our beloved friend P. Tikra Yerid Vesosim, no? Because to be a private domain, ordinarily you need three complete walls. Or four walls. Let's say three walls. The majority opinion is you need three walls to be Rishus HaYachid min HaTorah. Four walls, Midrabanan, three walls, min HaTorah. So the way it's going to be a Rishus HaYachid is because of P. Tikra. The standard bus stop is more analogous to a picture like this top picture over here, what we'll call the Rashi picture. You have one wall in the back, then you have the ceiling. It happens it is a little bit of a wall on one side. But according to, right, you have actually in the standard bus stop, let me say it like this, the standard bus stop, you have you have a complete wall on one side that's usually made out of like plastic. Now, has anyone been at a bus stop recently? Can anyone help me out over here? But you have like some plastic on one side, and on the other, and you have a wall in the back, and on the other side, you have a teeny bit, which may or may not be large enough to be a mechitza, but you have three sides. You don't have anything on the fourth side. According to the way Tosfos assumes as a matter of halacha, it only becomes a Rishus HaYachid if you have a tiny bit on that fourth side. According to Tosfos, even this middle case is not is not going to make it a Rishus HaYachid on the level of Drabanan. It's only this bottom case where something juts out. Nonetheless, Rav Schechter is machmir on this, because Shulchan Aruch in Simin Shin Samach Aleph in Hilchus Erevin, Shulchan Aruch does not really paskin like Taisus, nor does it really paskin like Rashi. Shulchan Aruch seems to say that if you have two complete walls that are Kamin Gam, two complete walls that are like that letter Gamma, so then I'll say P. Tikra on the other side. Since the bus stop has two complete walls, that was the assumption, so therefore, right, it would become a Rishus HaYachid. Now, Schechter said that. I was not 100% convinced, and I went with my tape measure. And people probably thought I'm crazy, but people think I'm crazy for other reasons. You measure that wall, the glass wall of the bus stop, and the glass wall of the bus stop is not touching the ground. The back wall touches the ground, no? Or it gets very close to the ground. That wall on the side does not touch the ground. In fact, the wall on the side is more than 3 tefachim above the ground, according to some measurements of 3 tefachim. If that's the case, you only have one mechitza. If you only have one mechitza, so then although according to Rashi, I would say Pitigra, but that position is not accepted. The accepted position, lahalacha, is somewhere between Rashi and Taisus. Taisus says you only say Pitigra if you have three complete walls and something on the fourth. Rashi says you say Pitikra even if you have one complete wall. The accepted position, the halacha, is we say Pitikra as long as you have two walls. It's not even so abundantly clear that these Washington Heights bus stops, by the way, going to Kifu will never be the same, ladies and gentlemen, because next time you go to Kifu, you will remember this year. And it's not abundantly clear that these Washington Heights bus stops have even two halachic mechitzos because they are not touching the ground. And I believe they're around 10, 11 inches from the ground, which according to some positions is more than three tefachim from the ground. And therefore, it is not 1,000,000% clear that it would be a problem. Nonetheless, when I became the rabbi, shortly after I became the rabbi, we expanded the Eruv. There were two expansions of the Eruv. We had what we called the Bridgel expansion that we went to. You see, the Bridgel at that point was on 179th and Pinehurst, correct? So originally we expanded the Eruv to include the Bridgel. That actually happened before I became the rabbi, the initial spiritual expansion. And then after I became the rabbi, we did another expansion. The initial expansion that we did made the Eruv end not at Broadway, where the bus stops are, but on Wadsworth Avenue. Wadsworth does not have bus stops. Broadway has bus stops. It happens that Broadway has a technical advantage over Wadsworth, which is that there are fewer trees on Broadway. Wadsworth has more trees, and trees tend to snag Eruv wires. So you win some, you lose some. By avoiding the bus stops and going to Wadsworth, we ended up with more tree snags. There is also a question about maybe the Eruv should not cross Broadway, but maybe Broadway is considered a public thoroughfare. But again, the majority of poskim who assume that you could have an Eruv in Washington Heights, I'll say it like this, all the poskim who hold that you can have an Eruv in Washington Heights would also be okay with crossing Broadway. So that issue did not disturb me. In fact, Rabbi Willig encouraged me. When I became the rabbi, he said, the first thing you got to do is cross Broadway. And I said, crossing Delancey, but in a different part of the city. Right? The first thing you got to do is cross Broadway. We did it. I don't think Rabbi Willig knew, but they actually crossed Broadway before I became the rabbi. There was like 1 week or something when there was a wire down, and they told me that they called Rabbi Wozner, and Rabbi Wozner said, okay, just cross Broadway already. So they did it. So cross Broadway even before I became the rabbi, but that was like on an ad hoc temporary basis. Once I became the rabbi, so we expanded the Eruv all the way to Wadsworth. Then it also connected to the YU Eruv. And now you can walk from one side of the Heights to the other. That's something that we did. But part of the motivation in doing this was in order to avoid the bus stops. And as we know from what we're learning tonight, bus stops are the issue of Pitikra Yervisosim. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, any questions or comments?
When I talk about these porticos, right? All southern cities have them. When I lived in Rio de Janeiro, there was like overhangs over the buildings so people would not get sun on the street. They would walk in the shade. And so it was actually for people on the street to walk, not for people in the building.
In other words, our Gemara was saying that the portico is meant for the people in the buildings, but you're saying in the southern hemisphere, they have porticos because it's too sunny in the street. So that's fascinating. Okay.
Yeah. Also, another comment in the same, if you go to Israel, to Netivot, you will see lots of yards where you have these, tents, which are basically for people to eat outside. There are no walls. There is only a tent on the roof. Like whatever the first picture showed,
like the case of Achsadra Rebecca, right? Those are actually awesome ways to eat for COVID. During COVID, when you're trying to eat outdoors, so again, I have a lot of these supposed outdoor eating areas in the Heights are like full-fledged buildings, and they're even closer. Compacted than it would be if they ate actually inside the restaurant. And the whole thing is, I don't know what they're doing, but if you have an achsadra bebika, you have one of those open air things, that's an awesome thing in terms of eating outdoors. Absolutely.
Yeah, and it protects from the sun also, the same
reason. Protects from the sun, yeah, it's a great thing. It doesn't work too well when it's like sub-zero, but besides that, it's pretty good. Okay. Chevra, Yashikayach, thank you for coming to learn. And Be'ezras Hashem, next week we will continue learning. Okay, have a great night. Kol Tov.